Salvi laces it into right center field, down into the gap, a base hit. Here comes Melendez, racing around third. No throw home. Ball game over. The game's first run is the only one the Royals need. El Capitan walks it off in the bottom of the 10th.
How about it, baby? How about it? I just hear noise.
Oh, that's my Jay Binkley song that I just made playing. Yep. We'll debut that. Can we do that next segment, Mac? Can we debut the Jay Binkley song? And it got a fist bump from Dusty because it worked out well.
It does.
It's good.
You'll enjoy it. You'll hear it every time he joins the show now at 6:45.
Right. So, Jay, your song is coming up around 8:20 this morning.
The audio you heard there was the walk-off single yesterday from Salvador Perez, who gave MJ Melendez his only highlight of the season as he scored the game-winning run.
Do you know MJ Melendez has 4 hits on the year and like Randall Grichuk has 3 hits as a Royal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just making sure everybody knows that. Yep. I didn't realize that Merv was that bad.
It's not good.
4 hits? Maybe. I know he's been gone for a while, but I mean, my God, he had a month and a half here.
I mean, maybe he'll be Andrew Vaughn. Maybe he'll get dealt somewhere else and become the actual guy that he was supposed to
maybe,
be.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Because right now, Milwaukee has won the trade deadline with Andrew Vaughn on their team. If you've seen what he's done lately, it's pretty good. He just had to get somewhere else because, you know, sometimes it's better to get elsewhere and change your place.
But, yeah. Any trades this morning happening? Or
because I've been monitoring it. Nothing so far. Just the fact that Bob Nightingale said earlier, which I brought up, the Cardinals, who are wide open for business, have several teams, including the Astros, the Phillies, expressing interest in Lars Nootbaar, Alec Burleson, and Brendan Donovan, three of their players that have been quite successful this year, I believe. At least they've destroyed the Royals. But
see, the problem with the Royals is I want them to be involved in every one of these trades. Like, I'm thinking to myself, as you read these names, why aren't the Royals involved in that? And and the problem with the Royals is, and baseball knows this, while they are willing to add, you know, payroll, as we talked about, these teams still want these prospects back in return, right? People still value the prospects. It's a fake currency. It's crypto, right? And so people think these prospects are going to be good. The problem is, when you look at the Royals as an organization, there may be 8 prospects that have a legit shot, 9 prospects that have a legit shot of going up to the big league level. So they don't have as many as other organizations do. And so when you get into these bidding wars and people are like, where are the Royals in all of this? Well, you got to look at their minor league system and realize they may not have the collateral, if you will, to go out there and be part of a lot of these conversations for a lot of these players. I still think with a game under 500, you're still hanging on and got an opportunity. They need to be big adders today. They need a bat and they need a starting pitcher. I think that's what the Royals need to do today.
From what I've seen so far, the last trade happened about midnight, and that was the Seattle Mariners were in agreement to deal the acquired third baseman Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks. So now Seattle's lineup gets deeper. Their pitching staff is already good. Look out for Seattle this postseason. You know, Julio Rodriguez, Suarez, Cal Raleigh. I mean, they could be a dangerous team, especially with the way they have that pitching staff.
If they get into the postseason, you had told me as we were going to break, they're what, tied for the final wild card spot with Texas, who seemingly now is in kind of sell mode, you said, right?
Yeah, like, it's just because they have like financial issues. Yeah. They don't know if, look, it's just weird because when you see your team in that same kind of window with the Royals, who are a game under 500, 3 games out of the wild card, have a chance to kind of limp themselves into the playoffs. Because what we said last night is just keep winning. It doesn't matter how you win at this point. If you're still on that whole thing, like, we can't score runs, we only scored one yesterday, I don't care. You won the game.
You won the game.
You're in the time of the season where you just have to win, and you're winning. They've now won 3 of 4 series since they've been after the All-Star break, right? They beat Cleveland 2 out of 3. They beat the Cubs 2 out of 3. They beat the Braves 2 out of 3.
Right.
And unfortunately, they didn't beat the Marlins 2 out of 3. They lost that series. But just keep winning, because I'm telling you right now, this gauntlet that is going to be this road trip is your season. Toronto, all these teams that are playing really, really good baseball, this is where your season goes. And it's in these next 9 games on the road, and then you come back against Washington next weekend, I believe. But this is,
this is it right here. This is big. Yeah.
I mean, as easy or as hard as it is for me to say, this is it. This is where, so if they make a move today, their flight leaves at 5:30 to go to Toronto. They're going to stay grounded until the trade deadline is concluded at 5 p.m. today, Central Time. We'll see, right? And if they make a move, then we'll see where they go from here. But they played in literally every single series they've won except for one, and that was the one in Miami, which they, you know, wish you would have won that one.
Yeah.
But right now, 7-5 since the All-Star game, scoring over 5 runs a game. Your pitching staff yesterday was an opener followed by a 9 or 8 other bullpen arms. Shut them out, 1 in 10 innings. just keep winning.
Yeah, that's all that matters. And really, that's all that matters at the beginning part of the season, too. Mm-hmm. Every win you get is a win closer to the postseason. And then you're not sitting here trying to, you know, scuffle at the end in the final third of the season, piecemeal series together to try to sneak into the playoffs and leapfrog all these teams. And so you win some of these games early and you're not in this situation. But they're playing good baseball right now. I think they're kind of playing inspired baseball mm-hmm. right now, quite honestly. And, you know, to go out there yesterday and to roll out the bullpen the way that they did, you know, it's not like this is an easy task. It's easier to go into a game and do what Joey Wentz did yesterday, which, by the way, tip of the cap to the local kid for dominating yesterday. What a great performance by him yesterday. It's easier to do that in a game than it is to do what the Royals did yesterday. What the Royals did yesterday, that's probably their most impressive win of the season because right. you relied on 9 individuals to pitch for you yesterday. You ever try to do a group project at work and there's always that one jerk who's a slacker or that group project in college who that one person never wants to do anything? And like 3 people really do a great job, and then the 4th person just kind of hangs on. That's a bullpen game. That's a group project yesterday, and you have to expect everybody to bring their A game. Mm-hmm. And every cat brought their freaking A game yesterday out of that bullpen. Sam Long, let's give that guy a little bit of credit. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of a bartender on Cheers. He looks like Sam Malone. That's the type of guy, same name. But like that guy was awesome yesterday. Like the entire bullpen was fantastic yesterday. When was the last time in your life, no matter where it is, no matter what you do, where you had 9 people do their job to that kind of effective level at the same time? It hardly ever happens.
Yeah.
And then you finally get that run when you need it the most. That's why yesterday's win to me is so impressive, because it wasn't just relying on one starter who went out there and dominated like Joey Wentz did. You had to rely on 9 guys yesterday, and literally every single one of them did their job. If one of them had a hiccup yesterday, you lose that game, you lose the series, and instead of being 1 under, you're 3 under, and maybe we're having a different conversation today. But man, to get 9 people to do what they did yesterday, beautiful by the Royals yesterday.
Yeah, and then of course it's your captain to put it on the back and knock in the run. I mean, it was almost immediate. Man on second, got out of the top of the 10th because, what was it, Stevez got that line drive that just a blink of an eye got it. It's like, holy cow, that ball was a needle right to his glove.
And that was luck. Let's not talk about skill in that one, right?
Hey, look what I found.
Because even he knew what it was.
It's like the bad athlete on your Little League team where there's a line drive down to third and he just reaches his glove out. He's like, oh, I got it.
Yeah.
And you're like, yes, you did.
Yay,
thank you.
Congratulations, Jason. Yeah,
I will say the 2 things that stick out the most for me with these Royals is that Bobby Witt Jr. has been the guy that everybody's been waiting for to be that stud. I mean, I think yesterday was a tough day at the plate, but it was a tough day to play for everybody. Hovering around that 290 average, still being able to get the ball in play when it matters, at least when you need Bobby Witt Jr. to be Bobby Witt Jr. Michael Garcia is still doing what he's doing. And then the other thing, too, is that you're playing better. You're playing more consistently to what you need to play at. You're getting 3, 4, 5 runs a game and giving up 2, 3, 4 runs. You're winning 1 run games, but you're scoring runs. Like I said, yesterday they were averaging 5.8 runs a game since the All-Star break, giving up 5. Kind of a little bit of a shift of a switch because the pitching had been so electric. But look, there's still the possibility that Cole Reagans comes back. Lugo's got nothing to worry about if he's going anywhere. He's staying. Mm-hmm. Waka's still your savvy vet. And you've got Noah Cameron that we sometimes tend to forget about. That you spearhead that with a little bit more offense and just keep winning against these teams, you're going to be just fine. You're only 1 game under 500 and 3 games out of the wild.
You know, last year we talked about the innings for Lugo and Waka. Oh my God, we need to limit their innings. And the Athletic we talked about yesterday talked about Noah Cameron now getting up there in innings and limiting his innings. Mm-hmm. They didn't limit the innings last year for their guys. And so Noah Cameron, I mean, I hate to break the news to you. Like, I know you're about 20 innings short of what your career high is in the course of a season. You're going to have to power through that. I mean, they need you. And I think also that's why it's imperative to go out and get another starting pitcher today, because you can never have too much pitching. Look at the way that this thing has dissipated in the last 2 weeks from a pitching standpoint for the Royals, right? We went into, you know, June essentially having like, okay, we got a really good rotation. We don't have to worry about that. Reagans gets hurt. Bubich gets hurt. Lorenzen gets hurt. You know, Rich Hill is no longer with the organization. That's 4 starters right there that are gone. 4 guys that have been starters for you this year are no longer part of your rotation. So you need to go out there. I still think and add an arm. I still think you need to add a starting pitcher today, and I still think you need to add a bat today. Let's go. Let's make this run. Let's go all in. Let's invest as much as we possibly can into getting better today. And if nothing happens today and they don't get better as a team, it's going to be very difficult, I think, for them to make it into the postseason, because I think eventually fatigue does catch up to that rotation. That's why I think it's important to add an arm today. Very important, in my opinion, to add a pitcher today.
Yeah, you're just in that point where, like, you used to have, like, the luxury of the trade deadline to where now you're like, well, now we need that luxury because we don't necessarily have it. I'm still interested to see what the conversation is around Cole Reagans, I'm interested to see what they say his evaluation has been, because we're still waiting. We're still starting to see if he'll be back this year. If you bring him back, you get your ace, and that's basically a trade deadline acquisition.
Sure. But how long is it going to take for him to get back? Is he going to be able to get back? We know Bubich is not coming back.
Yeah, he's done,
right? He's done. So let's not even worry about Chris Bubich and all the people like, well, maybe if no, we're not worried about Chris Bubich. Stop talking about him. It'll do your mental health a lot better. Mm. But Cole Reagans is that guy. Once he's healthy, then you start those rehab starts, right? Then you're down in the minor leagues and you're doing all that kind of stuff. When can he be back up here? Will it be too late, if you will, for Cole Reagans to make an impact on this team later in the season? So I still think the arm is the number one need right now for this organization. They've added a couple of decent enough major league bats, and Adam Frazier and Randall Grichuk, and they've made impacts already, you know, kind of with their back, giving you that veteran presence in the lineup. I think I'm leaning towards arm today, man.
No doubt about it. So yesterday, again, like I said, the whole season you can have complaints, but now you're at the point where it doesn't matter how you win. If it's ugly, if you win 9-8 and your pitcher,
who cares?
It doesn't matter, because that's where you're at right now in the season. That's what you've got to get done in this season. It's just continue to make sure that you're in a spot, because now there's only two teams ahead of you.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's Texas and I believe it's Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And if you can get past Cleveland, who just for some reason keeps hanging around, and you took 2 out of 3 from them, now you get the off day and then you got to go play the best team in baseball.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the West now too, because, you know, as Seattle is adding reinforcements, you mentioned Texas, we don't know what they're really doing, but you got Houston in the mix as well. They've kind of come back down. They talked about adding, what is it, Correa back into the mix yesterday. That was the big hot trade rumor. He's like, I really like Minnesota. I don't have a reason to go back to Houston. I kind of like where I am right now. So I think today's going to be wild, man. I haven't seen any rumors yet. A lot of these guys in the front office are getting their workouts in and, you know, eating breakfast and whatnot. And probably around 9:30, we'll start to hear a lot of these rumors start to percolate and pick up. And, you know, a lot of stuff is going to be flying around. I hope today. I hope this is a fun day. I really do. And a fun day to me is rumor after rumor after rumor after rumor, and you're going and you're losing your mind and you can't follow it all. I hope that's today for Major League Baseball. That's kind of the pattern that they've been on with their sport, right? Today needs to be a big day from a trade standpoint for them.
Today's also a big day for Mac and Jay Binkley, because football is back. We dive into that and we get into an all-fun team as well here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Tobacco, football, and boobs. He knows Bobby Bowden. He knows Pete Carroll. He likes a 3-4 defense. He's Jay Binkley.
That's right.
We gotta make like a soundtrack for this show.
Oh, that's great.
Jay's song's pretty catchy, I'm not going to lie.
Jay's is good.
Yeah, Jay's is good.
Yeah, the Maloney one was good, I thought, very too. Good. The Fesco and Dusty one is very good, because Max Cougar Chow.
Yeah, apparently. So 913-586-7965, who do you want to hear a song about next? That's per Bob Fesco. He thinks we need one of Carrington and Rob saying something is washed.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yes.
Or maybe something about Steven Spector can hit a fastball or a cutter off Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, like Drew and Spector being the best athletes
ever.
We
already got the Spector songs from years ago in the system from Moturn Media. See if I can find that one. I think I got that one on my phone back in the day.
Somebody says, is that guy saying booze or boobs? Boobs.
Either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then somebody says, is this AI slop? It sounds like it. Yeah.
Here's the Steven Spector song.
There's a Spec song?
Oh, yeah.
As he drives to work and hears this, he's loving this right now.
He knows this.
He went to high school with the children of dignitaries. He went to Syracuse, but he's a huge fan of Duke. His name is Steven Spector. He plays rec league hockey and football for fun. He thinks that he could play Division I.
Okay.
Hoops for Texas
Christian. 'Cause on the basketball court, this guy's insanely awesome. Oh, oh, oh. Radio show.
Yep.
When it is produced by Steven Spector.
Sounds like the B-52s. So.
You want to hear the clang song?
No. God, no. I'm done. I'm done. I want to do sports. So.
Cut that, please.
Yeah. We like to compare Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. We think that's one and two when it's all said and done, when Mahomes hangs up the jersey for the final time. We'll see what happens throughout the future of the NFL, because there's always somebody that comes around that makes that conversation different.
Mm-hmm.
But Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady have both played 111 games, and Patrick Mahomes leads in every category except for two, and in those two categories, they are tied, and that is championships and AP Offensive Players of the Year. Mahomes has won three Super Bowl MVPs. Tom Brady had won two. Patrick Mahomes has been All-Pro three times, Tom Brady two. AP MVP, Patrick Mahomes twice, Tom Brady once. It's astonishing to see this, because I know that we want to take a time and let his career play out, but we're going through their first 111 games. And when you look at this and you think about what the future could be for Patrick Mahomes and what his narrative may be, and I know that he probably sits back and says, I always want to be better than I was before. I want to get better every year. I want to do my best to get to be the best. And the best in the NFL, at least until it ever happens again, is Tom Brady. That is the best quarterback we have ever seen, from winning to talent to championships to notoriety to dynasties, all that. Tom Brady has set that standard. And the next guy to maybe get to that point is Patrick Mahomes. And I don't understand, you know, why people want to say, let's pump the brakes, when you have this sort of statistical evidence of what Patrick Mahomes has done. I think that we get tired of hearing how good Patrick Mahomes is from a nation's perspective. I think that there is more talent in this day and age of the NFL, and there will be more talent when Patrick Mahomes has probably left the NFL as well. But this is something that's kind of interesting to look at, that you look at the path that Mahomes is on. Yes, the championships may not equal out at the end of their career or at the end of his career. But when you look at what he's done in his first 111 games, and you look at what Tom Brady has done in his first 111 games, it's pretty impressive.
It is. But this conversation is such a microcosm of society now in general, where we want the answers to questions that just aren't ready to be answered yet, right? I'm not ready to answer the final bell on Patrick Mahomes and if he's going to pass Tom Brady, because I don't think we really answered the bell on Tom Brady for a while on Joe Montana. And I don't even really remember the comparisons being there when Joe Montana was the gold standard. And part of the problem is because Brady had Peyton Manning as his running mate and had somebody that, you know, was, you know, equally as good and had an opportunity to win championships as well. Patrick Mahomes doesn't quite have that yet. Maybe Josh Allen, but he still needs to get a title before he can be put in that category. And so, you know, he had Peyton Manning, there was Eli Manning, there were other guys that you could kind of compare in that era. Mahomes is so much better than anybody else that he's currently playing with right now, mm-hmm. and is so much better than all of his peers. The only thing we have to compare him to is history. And when you're talking about the greats of all time, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is absolutely 100% in that category. But we all want to know what the final script is going to be of Patrick Mahomes before we get there. And, you know, sometimes the final script may be actually better than what you're predicting it's going to be, right? We could sit here and say, boy, if he could win a couple more and he gets 7 championships or 8 championships, what if they go on some kind of crazy run again and he ends up with 10 championships? And so I love to let this thing play out. I love to see what the future can potentially hold for Patrick Mahomes, but I also want to sit back and enjoy it too, and I don't want to have the end story written before we're even, what, halfway through the career? We're at a halfway point, I guess, of Patrick Mahomes' career, maybe a little bit less than halfway, depending on how long you think he's going to play. But everybody wants the story to be written already about Patrick Mahomes. He could surpass Tom Brady as the greatest quarterback of all time, right, sir?
Yeah, exactly. I think this text makes a lot of sense, because for the 816, they said, I think people will eventually appreciate Patrick Mahomes. I remember hating Brady for a bit, but once you see him continue to be great for as long as he was, I grew to appreciate him.
I
take a sub-bar conversation from that text. Great text, 816.
Great text.
When did you appreciate Tom Brady? Because I know when I did. And that was in that Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl. when it was 28-3 and everybody was sitting around watching the game, they go, well, this Super Bowl sucks. I was sitting there literally with a plate of soft pretzels and cheese in my hand. And I said, if you guys think this game is over, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. And somebody looked at me, and I never will forget this. One of my best friends goes, Dusty, it's 28-3. He can't come back from this. And I didn't say a word the entire third quarter. And all of a sudden, that same guy looks at me and goes, I hate you. And I said, I didn't even say anything. He goes, I know. And all of a sudden, it was over. And it was like, that was the moment where I was like, it doesn't matter if it's the Falcons, the, I can't say the Giants, but anybody in that game, if Tom Brady had a chance, and that's where I think I look at people today that have finally come around to where Patrick Mahomes is, where it's like, gosh, we're down by 14 with 7 minutes left. I'm like, who's playing quarterback for the Chiefs,
Dad?
Yeah,
that's a long time, man. Like, if you're writing Patrick Mahomes off down 14 with seven to go.
Right. And I think you see that, right? Like, you've seen similarities in that with that cold-blooded killer instinct, and that's what Mahomes has. It's what he carries. You saw it with Jordan. You saw it with Brady. You saw it with Kobe. You saw it with Tiger. And you're starting to see that with Mahomes, and you got to see that a little bit in that run in the first Super Bowl when they were down against the Texans, down against the Titans, down against the Niners. And you're like, all right, scientific process, three times it's proven, it's sound, it's right, it's correct. And I think that's where, when you look at Mahomes and Brady, it's that similarity that sticks out the most on the piece of paper for me, is that, yeah, the numbers are good, the championships are nice, but it's how do they get there? Because other quarterbacks would fold. And that's why when we look at quarterbacks and we hold them to a high standard, because we are a little bit homerish when it comes to Mahomes, because that's all we cover and that's what we watch and we see it. And then you see other people that come out and they're like, did you see that game? We're like, yeah, which one are you talking about?
Well, and I think Tom Brady has kind of really ruined it for everybody else, you know, with the success that he's had. We want all these other quarterbacks to kind of be up there in that same level of Tom Brady, and that's just not possible. I think ultimately when it's said and done, Mahomes will go down as the better quarterback. Even Brady said he's much more athletic than he is, and that doesn't, you know, I mean, that doesn't surprise anybody. Tom Brady wasn't the most athletic quarterback, but he took what he had and made the most out of it. I mean, that's the Tom Brady story to me, ultimately. When did I realize he was great? I don't know the answer to that question, Dusty. I'm going to go back probably
appreciate
even further. And you know, you could make the case for that first Super Bowl that they won against the Rams. That is still to this day one of the more understated upsets that we've ever seen in NFL history. And I know there's the cheating and all that kind of stuff that was involved and whatnot, but they went on and won six championships and you know, dominated the NFL for 20 years, spying on a practice. I don't know how much that really factors in. They made the plays when they needed to make the plays. They got into field goal range at the end. He delivered that championship to New England. And so then I think you started to see, hey, maybe Tom Brady's going to be pretty good. We'll see what happens. You know, and then he turned it into, you know, 20 years of dominating the NFL. So I started to appreciate him probably in that first Super Bowl, because that was the most remarkable win that I'd ever seen. And that was the first Super Bowl I covered as well. And I remember being down there, not one person gave New England a chance to win. It was a formality that the Rams were going to win that Super Bowl. That's all it was. The Patriots were just there to facilitate the game. And they went out there and they won that game. You started to realize, oh, maybe Tom Brady is pretty good. But I think for me, ultimately, when I put the bow on his career is when he beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and did it with two different franchises. When you win Super Bowls with multiple franchises in seconds apart, and he wasn't a hanger-on for Tampa or anything like that.
No, he's incredible.
That's kind of when I realized, okay, this is different than everything else, is when he won that Super Bowl in Tampa.
Yeah, Tom Brady in that Super Bowl against Atlanta was 43 of 62 for 466 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. And I bring that stat up because somebody says, let's just give all the credit to Tom Brady.
He threw the ball 60-some times.
For 466 yards. Yes, Belichick did a really good job in that second half, only allowing 7 points after giving it up 21 in the second quarter. Yes, the defense was there, but the man manning the ship and getting them to get down the field and orchestrate that offense was Tom Brady. 62 times he threw the ball, 43 times he completed it, and 466 yards.
Yeah, CeeLo once said in the song, "Forget You," and that's what I'll learn if you're gonna use that approach with Tom Brady. Well, I don't know how good he was. Forget you, man. That guy dominated that second half, that third, fourth quarter of that Super Bowl. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, every championship requires luck, whether it's injury or fortune from the other team making mistakes, but you have to execute and capitalize on all that, and Tom Brady did that in droves that night. Yes,
teams will give you an opportunity to win a game. Good teams and great teams take advantage of those opportunities.
100%. Yeah, and Shanahan did give those opportunities that night. That offense fell asleep. It was sad. Julio Jones, 3 catches in that game, I believe.
Julio Jones.
Yeah, 87 I mean, what's yards.
The, Julio Jones.
What's our perception? Why are you doing Mad Dog? What's our perception of Matt Ryan if he wins that game?
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Because that was his MVP season.
Yep. Right on the edge.
You win that Super Bowl, we're talking about Matt Ryan, the Hall of Famer. That's why I think it's going to be very interesting to see the Philip Rivers approach when they start vetting Hall of Famers for next year. They do that right around the Super Bowl time. They'll let you know who's going in. But the vetting process is going to be very interesting because if Philip Rivers gets in on the first ballot, then I think we have to start making the case that maybe Super Bowls aren't the end-all be-all for the quarterback. And then a guy like Matt Ryan could potentially get into the Hall of Fame. Because if he wins that Super Bowl, I don't think there's any debate that he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. But now he's saddled with one of the worst defeats in the history of the NFL as a quarterback.
Yeah, that Super Bowl is just nuts, man. 28-3 at halftime. They didn't. Or yeah, was it 28-3?
Yeah, 28-3.
And they lost 34-28.
Yeah,
it's nuts.
Love to see the television rating cycle on that Super Bowl. From it probably started way up here, as every Super Bowl does, quickly dissipated, and then started to make its way back. And then there was probably some huge spike midway through the third or early in the fourth quarter where everybody was running back to their TV. You know, like all the people who left that Miami Heat game that were trying to get back inside. That was like everybody, I would imagine, during that Super Bowl trying to get back to their TV sets to watch this thing because, oh my God, the Patriots are coming back. This is outstanding. So I'm sure there's some huge spike late in that game from a rating standpoint.
We had talked about earlier the Gilbert Arenas story. If you missed it, he was running a gambling ring inside of a basement, basically having like people over and, you know, executive chefs. There were
the names that are probably going to be attached to this. You're going to want to see this list. I'm going to tell you there's going to be some money bags on this thing.
And you'd mentioned this is Molly's game all over again, which is the Molly Bloom, Orlando Bloom's sister.
Have you seen Molly's game?
I haven't. Is it on a streaming device?
It's on Amazon. Okay. Our friend Gene, this is what he falls asleep to every night. Gene Watson. Yeah, it's like his thing. He watches Molly's game. And so
Watson,
he was out there spring training a few years ago. He's like, well, we're going to watch Molly's game. I'm like, okay. And now I've watched it 2 or 3 times. And for me to rewatch a movie a couple of times, you know it's really good. Mac, have you seen Molly's game?
I'm not.
Okay, it's about Molly Bloom, who was an Olympic skier. Her brother, Orlando Bloom. Everybody's heard of Orlando Bloom, right? Big time skier out in Colorado. I think he did he play Colorado football for a hot minute? I think he did. And that's kind of where he came to fame. And then he had the skiing that went along with it. But they're a huge skiing family. And ipso facto, here we end up. She starts an illegal poker ring that exploded into being one of the most wanted to get into games, high stake games that was being run. And there were all sorts of celebrities that were taking part in this. And then somehow the Russian mob got involved. And that's how we end this whole thing. But she was involved in these high stakes poker game. And these things go on. You know, you have secret knock at the door. Sometimes they're in a hotel. They supply the drinks, the drugs, the everything else that goes along with it. And so I heard this Gilbert Arenas thing. I'm like, Gilbert Arenas is basically stealing from Molly Bloom. He stole her entire idea of running these high-stakes poker games. And you may think to yourself, why do these guys get involved? It's the chase, man. It's the next thing. These athletes, man, they need that chase. They need that adrenaline high. And so you're running these illegal poker games. You're shuffling people in and out, and you're playing for $250,000, $300,000 pots and huge stakes and whatnot. And so what Gilbert Arenas is doing, man, we've already lived this back in the early 2000s. Molly Bloom did it. He needs to call her and find out, hey, I better stop this stuff because eventually they're going to catch me. And it looks like they may have allegedly caught Gilbert Arenas in this whole thing.
Is it Jeremy Bloom?
Did Orlando. I say Orlando? No, yeah. I think it's I don't know.
Orlando Bloom's the actor. Yeah. He's okay. Then it's Turner's son.
Then it's Jeremy Bloom. Whatever. Whoever it was.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, Orlando Bloom is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, right. Actor guy.
You're Bootstraps Turner's boy. But it makes you ask the question: if you could have a poker game and sit down with a few, who would they be?
Yeah, mine is kind of an eclectic group. I'm going to start with the Pope.
Okay.
And the reason the he can't one? Is not going to lie.
You're
not going to lie. If he doesn't have a good hand, he's going to fold. He's not going to try to lie. So I got the Pope. I got Travis Kelce because he's going to bring the fun to the party, sure. Right? Have a lot of fun with Travis there. Like, he'll be joking around. You won't know what's going on. It'll just be fun. And then my brother-in-law, who basically makes his living off of playing poker, I would want him at the table as well because all he does is win, win, win. And he's a great reader of humans, the tells and all that kind of stuff. And so I would want him, the Pope, and Travis Kelce at my table.
Well, if he's at your table win-win-winning, that means you're lose-lose-losing.
Well, yeah, we work together.
Oh, got you. Old tag team. Nice. Yeah, I'd choose my brother Asher, Bill Simmons, and Ryan Russillo.
Why did you go with those three?
Because all three of those people love to gamble, and we all love sports, and we talk, drink, and gamble, and okay. I think it'd be a very fun night.
See, I went with a different route. How am I going to win this
thing?
Let me give me the Pope. Travis won't pay attention to most of what's going on, and then my brother-in-law is reading the whole table and will take everybody's money.
Yes.
I would go with Jeff Bezos, because he doesn't care if he loses his money, but he's going to provide a lot of money and probably buy in a lot. Which those guys that play loose can technically always kind of win all the money. But if you're going to add chips to the table, that's going to give me more odds to win that. Plus, Jeff Bezos is a robot, so it'd be like, boom, boom. Yeah. Another guy I would play with is Bill Murray. I think he'd be a fun poker player to have a conversation with. And then my third would be Phil Locke. Do you guys know who Phil Locke is?
I don't think
He's a professional poker player. He went on a spree where he didn't sleep for 48 hours and played poker. And halfway through, he started to hallucinate.
Oh, nice.
While he was
Did
at
he call Aaron Rodgers for some of that ayahuasca?
No, it was just sleep deprivation where he was just like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to call. And he had like an amazing poker run.
Did you ever have sleep deprivation, like real sleep deprivation in your life?
We drove back from Myrtle Beach one time all the way through his 22 hours.
Okay.
And by the time we got to about like hour 15 or 16, I was like, David at the dentist. Do you remember that video?
Stop for the night. We had
bothered our parents because we'd always stop like midway through and then the next day get up and go home. And we're like, well, Aunt Terry and Uncle Mike, they get to drive all the way through all the time. My stepdad's finally like, F it. All right, let's do it. We got in the car and we drove straight through.
You're a kid when this is going on?
Yeah.
Why would you want to stop and spend the night in another motel? As a kid, that's a cool thing to do.
On the way back, you just want to get home. Yeah. On the way there, we'd always stop in like Nashville and then we'd get up the next morning, we'd go through, or we'd stop in the Smoky Mountains and the next morning go through. And on the way back, we're just like, I just want to get home.
Yeah.
I've got sand everywhere. We already talked about that.
I see what you're saying from that standpoint. But yeah, but like the hotel pool.
And the people that we were leaving with. Oh, by that point, you've been in pools, the ocean, the lazy river, you're pooled out.
Done, yeah.
And so we were like, well, they do it. Let's do it. We did it. And after the trip was over, my stepdad was like, well, I'll never do that again. I'll never drive that long. I mean, it was literally in a Chevy Astro van from Myrtle Beach to Blue Springs, Missouri in 22 hours.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous. Not. So we used to do those trips as a kid, 2 weeks in the Toyota minivan up and down the East Coast. I saw everything as a child. I mean, it was awesome and fun. And we'd stop at these rest areas, not rest, but exits. You know, they have like four motels, and my mother would run to all four to see what the cheapest rate is, and that's where we would end up staying.
I love that.
Oh, it was horrible. Red Roof Inn. I lived in Red Roof Inns in the summer when I was a child, and you didn't think anything of it. It was great. You had no care in the world. You just pulled over. You got a room for the night? Yeah, how much? $59. We'll give you 45 done, and you pay cash. And my mother haggles over everything.
Awesome.
My mother will haggle at a restaurant over the price of something. The Osso Buco's $49.95. I'll give you $39.50 for half of it. It doesn't work this
way,
Marlene.
Awesome.
What are we doing? You don't bargain with the waiter.
I love it.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this. I really want to. Yeah, that'd be a fun poker table invite. Tim Robinson.
Yo, absolutely.
Tim Robinson, Rob Riggle, and... Mac Morey. sounds like Maloney's texted in the text line. My answers for my poker table will be Shane Gillis, Pat McAfee, and Bob's wife.
So Maloney did text in. I just want to win, Jen.
Oh, man.
That's great.
Coming up on the other side, my girl Sophie Cunningham's got a podcast with a man from Bravo who's a huge Chiefs fan, and she said some stuff that's the obvious. We dive into it on the other side here. I'm Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
But we've got a trade in baseball, and it's a big one.
It is a big one, baby.
Justin's dad, Shane Bieber, has been traded to the Toronto Blue Jays because, of course, Cleveland looking like they might be selling as they send off Shane Bieber, former Cy Young Award winner. He goes to Toronto.
Yep.
He just pitched in this series against the Royals, but I think that was 3 days ago. I want to say that was Tuesday's game.
So that maybe was last week.
Maybe no. It was Monday's game.
So Bieber hasn't pitched in over a week.
So he pitched Monday. He was off Tuesday, Wednesday, today.
No. The Bieber was with Cleveland. That was last week.
Yeah. Last week. Last weekend. Yeah. Right. So he pitched last weekend because I know like Salvador Perez is like 0-15 against Shane Bieber. So there's a possibility that now the Royals will now play against Shane Bieber again because they go to Toronto this weekend. But yeah, Shane Bieber has been traded from the Cleveland Guardians to the Toronto Blue Jays.
And also, too, this is interesting. You haven't figured out who it's coming back for yet, but John Morosi is reporting that the Toronto-Cleveland trade will be a one-for-one. So I wonder who the Blue Jays are sending back to Cleveland, because that's a – I mean, that's crazy to think a one-for-one for Shane Bieber for a Cy Young Award-winning guy. I mean, like, that's wild.
Class AA pitcher Kai Steven, the Blue Jays' number five prospect, is heading to Cleveland. The deal's done.
Okay, the deal is done. So they're getting the number five prospect in the Cleveland system for Shane Bieber. Whoop-de-doo.
Never heard of him.
You traded some crypto for a guy that's proven, you know? that's exactly what you did, right? And so Shane Bieber reportedly trying to move. But anyway, where I'm getting at right now with Shane Bieber is that Cleveland is clearly open for business. And you know, Stephen Kwan, who we talked about yesterday, to me, he's my guy. He's the perfect Royal. But I know there's going to be a lot of competition out there for him. I heard the Dodgers are now back in the mix. I mean, the guy doesn't strike out. He gets on base. He's a leadoff hitter. He's a gold glover. He fills a major position of need. I don't want to hear that we're not going to trade with Cleveland because they're in our division. Yesterday, one of the biggest trades that went down, Ke'Bryan Hayes, gold glove winning third baseman from Pittsburgh, was traded to Cincinnati. They share the division, okay? Mm-hmm. They share that National League Central division. So these trades do happen. We saw one the other day that went from, was it Minnesota to...
Yeah, Duran to Philadelphia.
Well, no, but there was another interdivision. Yeah, he didn't go to Philadelphia. But there was another interdivision trade that I saw the other day with Minnesota. Maybe it was Cleveland. I don't know. Either way, they will trade within their division, right? So if you covet Luis Robert or whatever the case may be from the White Sox, I know San Diego's kind of hot and heavy on him. There's no reason the White Sox need to trade Luis Robert. They still have another year of control on him if they don't. But, you know, you can like Luis Robert and say he should come here because it doesn't matter if these teams are in the same division. Cleveland is showing you right now that they are absolutely 100% in sell mode. Call on Jose Ramirez. Call on Stephen Kwan. Both of those guys are difference makers for any organization out there. Stephen Kwan could be a difference maker here, and you got another year of control with Stephen Kwan. That's the guy you go target and get.
Right. And I mean, I get it. Like, what you want and what they need are two different things.
And that's the thing. Yeah.
But we'll see, man. I mean, that's the way the day goes, man. So far, Shane Bieber has he's 2-0 with a 0-0. That was, I guess, last year. I'm trying to think what his stats are this year.
Well, he's coming back from Tommy John surgery. Correct. I don't think he's pitched much this year.
Not a whole lot.
He's done some minor league rehab stuff. I'm not seeing any stats on Shane Bieber for this year.
Yeah, so he's been hurt all year is what it looks like, and now he's back. So it's kind of a gamble for the Blue Jays because he only pitched in two games last year before he got hurt.
Right.
So apparently he's good to go. And pitch for Toronto, so why not?
He's absolutely good to go, and you insert him into the rotation, and you're not inserting an arm into the rotation that has wear and tear on it this year. He's been off for the last 18 months, and so Shane Bieber could be a nice addition for the Toronto Blue Jays to insert him right back in the rotation. Made a rehab start two or three days ago and was finishing up his rehab work down in wherever the minor leagues are for the Cleveland baseball team, and he should be ready to go. It says, after successful rehab start, guards plan for Bieber is in place, and this was written, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Your division trade was the one that sent the doubleheader, Baltimore and Toronto.
Saw that as well, Baltimore and Toronto. Yeah. Baltimore traded their closer to Toronto in between games of a doubleheader. He went out and closed out the game against the Orioles yesterday.
Funny.
Awesome. And the eight was upside down on his jersey,
that's
too.
Right.
And then JT, you can hear on Cody and Gold from 10 to 2, just let me know, Ken Rosenthal just put out an article that the Rangers could be pursuing Hunter Harvey in a deal. So.
Yeah.
With the Royals.
With the Royals. Yep.
Well, send us Garcia, we'll send you Harvey. Right?
Sounds fair.
To me. I don't know if you guys checked your DMs yet, but I sent you a new food item. It's coming out because Oreo's on top of the world right now.
Right.
Hershey's Oreo banana pudding pops. Yes, sir.
Yes. Yes.
I'll try it. I'm just looking at it. There's a lot going on in this one.
Yeah, banana, chocolate, cream.
Yeah, Oreo. Yeah, I'll be in on that. So Hershey's and Oreo basically are coming up with just about everything they possibly can right now. And it's smart. You're riding a heater right now. You should absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the banana pudding Oreo cookie bar. Yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Banana and chocolate in general. Sign me up.
Smash. You sound like Elvis now. Isn't that what he died eating, a chocolate peanut butter banana sandwich on the toilet?
On the toilet?
I think it was just peanut butter and banana.
You're down there in Tennessee. I know it's not in Memphis and all, and that's like saying something to St. Louis compared to Nashville, but I'm sure Elvis is a big deal down
for
there,
sure.
Right? Like, everybody knows he died on the crapper.
Yes, everyone knows.
Yeah, he, Graceland.
Thank you. Have you ever been to Graceland?
Yes.
The place has not been updated.
I have been to I have been inside Elvis's house. I've seen Elvis's
grave.
Yeah, it's cool. It's expensive. Have you looked at the cost of getting into Graceland these days? If you want to do the house, the plane, and there's like a third thing you can tour there as well, it's over $100 a person to go see this thing.
Yeah, I actually almost got kicked out of touring Elvis because I was, and still am, a smartass. And the tourist was walking through, and I was like, can we go to the bathroom? And he was like, whose kid is this? My mom about smacked me across
That's
the face.
That's a legit question. They don't have, they have to have a bath. It's like a visitor center. Somebody's got to poop.
Well, I was referencing
The he's death. Not. I got you.
They're like, time and place. And I was like, all right, I'm sorry. Apologize.
The guy died in 1977. I was 3 or 4 months old when Elvis died. Time and place is past.
Too soon.
Yeah, the too soon. No. I was reading a column today from somebody in Las Vegas, and they made the column of everything bad that made the point, like, everything bad that happens does have a humorous side. Just how you use that humorous side, right? Mm. Elvis died while on the toilet eating a sandwich. That's funny. And it happened 48 years ago, like in the next couple of days, like early August.
Well, Elvis might still be alive.
Well, that's true.
With Tupac and others.
Yeah. Do you think all those guys are sitting somewhere writing songs? And
if they are, I'd love to be there.
Yeah.
Well, they're actually, it's not AI, that website. It's actually Elvis.
All these guys are like on an island somewhere writing these songs thinking it's AI. And they're like, if they only knew that Jay Binkley song was actually written by Elvis.
That's right. Don't forget Travis Kelce Day a week from today. You can hear the promotions on the radio during the commercials. Travis Kelce Day 8/7. A week from today, we will be doing the Travis Kelce Day. So be sure to be listening. We'll have some interviews. We'll have some people calling in. You can call in, text in, share your favorite Travis Kelce memories. Because we don't know. This might be the end. It may not be. I don't know. I assume from what we've been told and what we're hearing, this might be the swan song or the last dance with Kelce and Mahomes as they prepare for this new season. And there's also a football game tonight.
Yeah.
If you're not excited about that. 7 o'clock. I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah.
I like watching football, okay?
Yes. It's not a bad thing.
You know,
it'll be good to get a little football in our lives. And look, they're giving you reasons to watch, right? Lunatic coaches, second overall pick in Trey Lance, there's 15th team. I think he's been on more teams than Rich Hill. Who's been on more teams, Rich Hill or Trey Lance?
Dick Mountain. He's been with like Boston 3 different times.
I hope somebody signs him. Some team that he hasn't been on yet signs him so he can get that 15th team and set the record for the most teams played on in Major League Baseball. I think that would be fantastic. Like there's some loser team out there that he hasn't played for, right? That can go ahead and take a flyer on him for one start just to let him break that record.
Yeah, come on.
White Sox.
Do we know who's singing the national anthem? They always probably have some sort of special person.
Tonight,
right?
Singing the national anthem? I don't know.
Because, I mean, football's back.
Could
Thursday
be the Canton
night.
High School band.
That'd be cool. Tuesday night's national anthem at the K was really good. Probably the fastest national anthem I've ever heard. It was like some sort of choir. I don't remember who it was.
Yeah,
it was
we
really
were
good.
Walking in as it happened. It did go very fast.
It was like 39 seconds. I want to do sports.
I thought you said nobody's heard from Jay Binkley today.
No.
I want to do sports.
Yeah. Sounds like that guy's had a cig.
Want to do sports.
Nothing else has gone on. Yankees are among teams interested in David Bednar. Oh, relief priority. That's the boring stuff. You'd start trading these relief pitchers. Nobody knows who these people are.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a Ranger fan, no offense, Hunter, but you don't know who Hunter Harvey is. Does that move the needle? Of course, you have to find a Ranger fan, first of all. Sorry, Dayton.
Coming up on the other side, we'll dive into this Hall of Fame game and why I'm just such a degenerate, because there are ways to gamble on this game. We can show you what we have so far via DraftKings and others here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Dusty, I need to come over to your house.
Fesco and Dusty, subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Well,